this word. And I just want to lift out this one verse. If he decides to do more, I'll do more. But I want to lift up Psalm 37 and 4. And I want to spend a moment there if you don't mind. Psalm number 37, verse 4. And it simply says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful word we have before us. It's a very precious word. It's a word that many of us quote from Psalms, and many of us hold near and dear to our heart. However, I'm not sure that the interpretation of this word is clear. And my desire today is that your shout is not lessened or weakened by the truth of the word. And that means that when we go through this word and understand what it really means, that you will still say, according to this word, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's important to understand there are so many things about the word of God that he reserves for the believer to understand. Just because you can read the words of Holy Writ does not mean that you have the interpretation or the understanding of the word. It's important to understand that God wants us to get the message and to have a clear understanding of his mind. He has written and recorded this word for our benefit, for our learning, so that we might apply the scripture of truth to our lives and our situations and gain that God wants us to gain from the truth of his word. And that's why it's important to know the truth, because the truth shall make you free. Not a lie, not a misinterpretation, not a sincere wrongness of the word, but the truth itself. The truth turns on a light of understanding that cannot be turned off again. And so when you understand truth, you're transformed by that truth, or you turn away from that truth, but you will always know the effects of the truth. David writes this beloved psalm, and he says several things before this psalm and several things after this psalm, but many of us pick this one verse to highlight and spotlight in many of our confessions and our quotations as relates to our own lives. And one of the things that I desire us to do is to understand what's in the text. I want the text to talk for itself. I want you to understand that God has something to say, and if you hear with your spiritual ear, you'll never see this word the same way again. First of all, the word says, and I want to walk through it, take my time, break it down so that we would just understand it pragmatically. Pragmatically, it says, delight thyself. That's personal participation. What's important about that is that you must participate in the delight of the Lord for the rest of this verse to come to pass. You have got to do your part. It's important to understand that God, in a relationship, wants a an active participant involved with him. He doesn't want to be the only one doing something. He doesn't want you just requesting and he granting the request. He wants not only for you to get something out of it, but he wants to get something out of it also. So remember, it's personal participation. Delight thyself. Then the word says, also in the Lord. This is the proper person. Our problem is many of us delight ourselves in the wrong person. And we want from God what we have not delighted ourselves in. We are not giving to him what he desires, yet when we pray, we're asking him for something that only comes by way of our personal participation. And so it's important to recognize and understand that we must also place our desires for God to be in a motion that delights in him. Our greatest delight must be in God. Now the word also brings verse 3 into play, because what it says is that you're supposed to trust in the Lord and do good. Now those are your responsible parts before you dwell in the land and get fed. But verse 3 tags on to verse 4 tags on to verse 3 by saying, delight thyself also, meaning that verse 3 is not complete, because now God gives to us another requirement, that we delight ourselves also as we must trust him, also as we must do good. We must delight in him, the proper person. And then notice it says, and he shall give thee, you, the desires, plural, of thine heart. That means the perfect gift. The perfect gift. Now, many of us, and I want you to understand this, ask God for less than the perfect gift. But when we give God what God wants, God so arranges everything in your heart so that you can receive the perfect gift or gifts that God has for your life. Now, one of the things that you've got to understand is God wants the best for you. He proved that by giving his only begotten son. His son proved that by giving his life. And what's important for us to understand is that if God's son gave his life and God gave his son, what other good thing would he withhold from us? There's nothing God has that he would not give to you when you delight in the Lord. Now, I'm not going to be long this morning, so I want you to listen and listen carefully. This word, delight, is an intriguing word, because with all of the meanings of delight, it has to do with understanding God wants you to have joy and merriment and delight in him. He wants you, simply put, to chase after him.
All right.
Why does God want you to chase after him? David, who wrote this song, was a man known as a man after or chasing after God's own heart.
Yes.
One of the things that David is known for is his special love for God, his desire for God, his chasing after God, his merriment in God. He fixed his heart and his mind upon getting close to God. He spent countless days in prayer, in meditation, in seeking God, in singing to God, in talking to God, in looking for God. He made it clear that of all of the things you have given me, God, I want you most. Most. Do you know how you move God? When you tell God, thank you for the stuff, but I just love when you come close to me. Thank you for the house, and thank you for the job, and thank you for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for all of that, but I just love our quiet time. I love it when you allow me to come close to you and tell you what's on my heart. I love it when you allow me to get so close to you that I don't have to scream, I can just whisper. I love you. I love you, Lord, today because you cared for me in such a special way. I praise you. I lift you up. I magnify you. See, delighting in the Lord makes the Lord know you really know who he is. Most of us only know what he does. And God is more than a giver. Most of us know him as a giver, and that's what we most times appeal to, his giving side. But when you desire to know him for him, wanting to know him for who he is, wanting to be know the man who made you in his image and in his likeness, who made you wonderfully and fearfully, who made you above all of his other creations and gave you dominion over. When you want to know him intimately, that moves the heart of God. So when the word says, delight thyself, listen, that's your responsibility. Can't nobody make you delight in the Lord. It's sad when we got to get up here and prime you and pump you and unction you to give the praise to God that he so worthily deserves. You made it from last Sunday to this Sunday. That's enough to shout about all day long. Some of y'all came through some mess you wouldn't have made it through had it not been for the grace of God. If the Lord didn't do another thing for you, you got enough praise on your lips and in your heart to never stop praising him. And yet we never take the time to delight. We delight in temporary stuff. We chase after temporary stuff. We'll work an extra job to get temporary stuff. We lose sleep thinking about how we can get next to temporary stuff. We call, write poems, sing songs to temporary stuff and not to God. Let me help you understand delight. Delight in this context, have you ever fallen in love? And when you fell in love, you delighted in that person. Well, what does that mean? You notice things about them. You notice things about them that caught your eye, caught your attention, caught your fancy. Yeah. You couldn't wait to talk to them. You talked to them for hours. When you hang up, you want to call right back. Well, I got to go to work. Well, I got to go to work too. Yeah. But yet, that same attention, and chasing after, and sending cards and flowers, on doing all of the things that it takes to let the other person know you delight in them, not just a passing fancy. And you begin to reveal your heart quickly. You begin to share things and say things that you don't tell everybody, because you want them to know how special they are to you. You begin to let them into the secret places of your heart to share with them, so they will obviously clearly see that there is a high regard for them in your life. You then ask their opinions, because you want to make sure that it doesn't offend them and that you get their buy-in. That means something. You say to them that their opinion matters to you. You am I in the house with anybody? Am I? You begin to let them know, listen. I'm in this thing to win this thing. It ain't a game for me. I'm for real. Baby, what you see is what you get. And all of that kind of stuff. And you, oh, we can lay it on thick. Some of you sisters know how thick it's been laid on. Amen. But you spared no expense in letting them know your delight in them. God says he wants you to do that also for him. He wants you to tell folk about him. Man, my God is something else. Ooh, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul shouts glory. When you begin to talk about his goodness and you tell folk how wonderful he is, and not just what he does, but how he makes you feel, and how you all together again ascend to places you've never been in before, and then he tells you things that nobody but him could tell you, and shows you great and mighty things, which lets you know you're near and dear his heart, because you've shown him how much you delight in him. That's what God wants from you. How much time do you spend with him? Set aside for him. Do you give him his tithe and his offerings? Like you try to give that significant other's whatever you set aside as something great for them. You save to give them something that's great. That's wonderful. That makes them most appreciative. God wants you to do the same thing for him. Now listen at this, because I want us to understand so clearly when that word says, delight thyself also in the Lord, it requires personal participation at the highest level. The highest level. There should be no one else on earth that you delight more than God. No one else. When you begin to think about who you have delighted in the most, then you ought to realize that God deserves far more than that person you've delighted in, because he's worthy. He loved you when you were unlovable. He gave his son who died for you while you were yet in your sins, unrepented, still filthy, dirty, low down, no good, unwanted. He loved you for you. You didn't have to do anything special. He loved you. Now, can I tell you, by the way, that's some real love when you ain't got to put on and perform for somebody to love you for you, and they know you are you because you are you and can't hide you. Some of us fall in love with representatives. And then when the real person shows up, you'll be like, I didn't sign on for this. I like that representative you showed me. Who is this? Can I please speak to the representative? Yeah, amen. God shows you himself in the realness of himself, in the pureness of himself, in the holiness of himself, in the righteousness of himself. He doesn't put on. He loves you because he is love. Delight is left out of most, even today, of the desires of our hearts. We want what we want, and we want it now. No effort on our part, no real participation on our part. We just want what we want by any means necessary, by the shortest route to getting it. We just want what we want. You don't have, even this day, and I'm saddened by so many Christian young women, teenage girls becoming pregnant from Christian homes, because there's obviously something lacking underneath the skin. There's not the due process of delight that goes on in a relationship. They don't understand what it is that is required. You know, it used to be long time ago. You date a court, then you fall in love, then you get married, then you have a baby. Now, you either have a baby, then fall in love, then try to court. And if you like each other then, after shacking up a while, then you get married. That's not God's order. That's not how he placed it. Listen, neither one of you get the best out of each other or the relationship doing it that way. Listen, if you are worth what God has vested in you, and you are, then honor God, honor your parents, and honor yourself by carrying yourself like that. No boy is worth you if he can't wait on you. Well, baby, if you love me. Well, baby, if you love me, you delight yourself in me. You wouldn't want to dishonor me, deflower me. You would want to make sure that I'm right for you. I'm right. It was a youth conference. A pastor's daughter had gone to, and he wanted her to be exposed, and she had gone to this conference and this youth conference, and these children, young adults, et cetera, were there. When the altar call was made, they were crying and snotting and all of that because of the sins they had committed and repented and came to the Lord. And they started giving their testimonies about what they had been delivered from. How they'd been delivered from drugs. how they had been delivered from sexual perversions, how they had been delivered from smoking, how they'd been delivered from stealing, how they'd been delivered from gambling, how they'd been delivered from all of these heinous crimes and faults and issues. And the preacher's daughter didn't have anything to confess. And she went back to her daddy crying because she didn't have any sins like they had to confess. She said, "Daddy, they were all crying because God saved them. They saved them." And the daddy said, "Well, aren't you saved?" "Yes, I'm saved, Lord, but it seems not like they're saved." He said, "No, what happened was you were saved."
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
When the going gets tough, the tough get Goins. Hey, Sinlaw, I'm attorney Jonathan Goins, and I'm committed to being there for you during tough times. Like when you're hurt after a car wreck, or you can't work after an 18-wheeler carelessly runs into the back of you. You need a lawyer who will stand and fight for you during a very difficult time in your life. That's why when the going gets tough, the tough get Goins. 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. That's 787-5607.
Goins Law Firm is a proud underwriting sponsor of this station.
When I saw him glad morning, Lord, I fly away, well, to my God's letters, hey, I'll fly away, Lord, I'll fly away, hey, Lord, fly away, Lord, and when I die, hallelujah, yes, I'll fly away. Won't be very long. Fly away. Don't look for me. I'll be gone. Fly away. Lord, I'll fly away. Tell my mother. Fly away. Lord, and when I die. Lord, I'll fly away.
Hallelujah.